Hi, everybody. I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio. And with me today is a guy from Texas. His name is Alton Jones, and you're a little bit on a hot streak, aren't you, Alton?
Well, I tell you what, I have been very fortunate over the last few events, and it's been a great ride this spring.
Well, we got to talk about Clear Lake. You know, you and I have been talking about, you know, just how you get on these streaks and what's going on and everything. But you had a 7-pound disadvantage going into the last day and came out with the victory. That's a real come from behind story there.
Well, you know, I tell you, I think being so far behind actually helped me to win this tournament, because going into that final day, I had no expectation of winning. I thought best case scenario, if I have a really good day, I thought maybe I could catch Ish Monroe in second place, because I was only 3 pounds behind him. But I thought Mark Kyle was just completely untouchable. So I was so relaxed. I mean, I was just out there fishing, you know, trying to do the best I can. But sometimes if you're thinking about winning, it can really make you nervous. And it was funny that day. I didn't even have a chance, have an inkling that I might win the tournament until late in the day. Jay Yellis, this year's Bassmasters Classic champion, happened to be on the water observing. And he came up to me with about 15 minutes left, and I just caught a real nice 4-pounder that I culled with, and it got me up around the 20-pound mark, actually 22 pounds, but I didn't even know I had that much. And he said, "Alton, how are you doing?" I said, "Well, I think I've got 20 pounds or so, Jay." And he said, "You know what?" He said, "I've been watching all the other competitors fish." He said, "You're going to win." And I'm glad I only had 15 minutes left, because I started getting nervous and my casting got bad. I was missing the docks that I was slipping at, and I was missing the holes in the grass. And you know, but at that point I was ready to go weigh him in.
Well, we got to talk a little bit about Jay Yellis. You know, he was the Bassmaster Classic champion. I know he's a great friend of yours and has a new book. I'm about halfway through it right now. It's a wonderful book. It talks about championship fishing, but it talks about a lot of other things, some things that you and he have in common.
That's right. He and I share a lot more than just our close friendship. We both share a strong faith in Jesus Christ, and I think that's really the closest part of the bond that I have with Jay. You know, he and I, we don't use our Christianity as a crutch to help us catch fish. That's really not what we're all about. To he and I both, the most important things in our life is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we really, we see that God uses our fishing as a means to help us be able to spread his word and spread the good news. And, you know, that's our plan, is just through fishing, just to be a great example.
Well, you talk about the plan coming together. I remember the A-team, they used to say nothing's better than a plan coming together. Well, it's doing it right now for you. You're leading right now by 1 point in the Angler of the Year competition, and you're up, I think Roger Bowler from Texas is the guy that's in second place. So you got to feel pretty good about it.
Well, it's an exciting place to be. And, you know, this is another unexpected for me, because if you'll remember, the very first two events of the season were disastrous for me. I had two 82nd place finishes at the Harris Chain and at Okeechobee. And at that point, I wasn't even thinking about Angler of the Year. I was worried about, am I going to make the Classic? And every tournament since then has gotten, you know, basically stronger. And, you know, here I find myself with two tournaments left, with actually a chance at the top place in the sport. And, you know, it's humbling. It's a big honor to be sitting in that spot when you consider the competition, that sort of thing. But it really does. It humbles me. It's, you know, it's nothing great or special that I've done. It's just the way things have worked out for me this year. My philosophy on that, Terry, I never really put earning points as a goal. What I always try to think about is catching that next bass. Things like championships, winning tournaments, winning an Angler of the Year title, making the Classic, those happen by themselves. Back when I was a kid taking golf lessons, I remember something that my instructor told me, and it really applies to fishing too, and he told me that the ball is just a result of the swing. And so I try to keep my eyes focused on that swing, and in fishing, that swing is, how am I going to catch the next bass? And if you learn to do that well, all the points, all the championships, and everything else comes automatically.
Well, you know, it may be a bit cliche, but, you know, the Angler of the Year, as far as the anglers are concerned, the pro fishermen, that's probably the pinnacle, isn't it?
Well, I do think it's, by our peers, it's the most respected position, because it shows consistency over the long term. You know, it's not as prestigious as winning the Bassmasters Classic, for example, but it's certainly something that every angler looks to, would be winning that prize. And, you know, it's really early. I almost hesitate to even try to picture myself in that role because we've got a lot of fishing left to do. We've still got two full tournaments left to go, and anything can happen.
Well, let's talk about the Classic if we can. You know, that's been something that you know, Race got put together. What a great venue every year. You know, the very first one, they didn't know where they were going. But now the Superdome again this year and, you know, New Orleans and that great fishery down there at the Delta. But how important is it to your sponsors? How important is it to you as an angler to make that Classic every year?
Well, the Classic probably is the most important thing for us as professional anglers as far as qualifying for a particular venue. Because that's an event where the entire industry comes together. There's hardly any other tournaments that every representative from every inch of the industry is all together under one roof. And they may have to read about me winning a tournament at Clear Lake or may hear about it secondhand or third hand 2 weeks later or whatever. But they're at the Classic, and that's where you're visible in front of the people who make the decisions, who write the paychecks. And it's really important for us to make a showing for them there. It's also a great place for us to showcase their products in front of, with the ESPN audience, literally millions of viewers. So it's critical, and it certainly increases your value to your sponsors if you can make sure that you're a part of that Classic with some degree of consistency.
Well, you know, as you look at the season now, you guys really started way back in January, and now, you know, it's almost post-spawn time. You know, you started thinking about it. You went to Okeechobee. You expected to have those bedding fish. Really didn't turn out that way. And as the season's progressing, now you're starting to find the fish on the bed. You're starting to see that spawn. But it won't be too long here. It'll be post-spawn.
Yeah, you know, really, we have not had a strong spawning tournament yet. Now, granted, the fish that was the winning fish at Clear Lake were spawning fish, but it wasn't an all-out spawn there. We were early because they had unusually cold weather. And what we're going to do is we're going to go from just barely missing it on the front side to probably by the time we get to Hart Springs, we're going to barely miss it on the back side, like you said, and they'll be post-spawn. But, you know, even during the post-spawn, the bass stay shallow, and they're going to be very target-related. They're going to be around boat docks, around stumps, around man-made brush piles, rock points, and invisible things that you can see. And I love fishing. That's what I call junk fishing. Anytime I'm throwing at objects that I can see, you know, that's what I enjoy most.
Well, you know, you're known as a versatile angler, but, you know, one of the things I guess I ask pretty much every angler that I get the opportunity to talk to is, if you could pick one thing, what would that be? And you know, where do you feel your strengths really lie?
Well, I think my strengths are probably with soft plastics over a wide variety. I would include in that jigs. I would include tubes. I would include plastic worms. I would include stick worms like the Yum Dinger that I used to win this last tournament at Clear Lake on. In fact, I've got to tell you a little bit about that bait. That is a bait, believe it or not, I've fished it almost exclusively now for three tournaments in a row, and that has really been a key in my rise in the rankings. It has been the confidence and persistence I've had with that Yum Dinger.
Well, let's talk about that. It's kind of a new company, but they've been around a little bit. Riverside used to be the name of the company, and now Yum, and it's got all kinds of good products out there for that company.
Yeah, and it's more than just a revised Riverside. It actually is a whole new family of lures. And what they've done with Yum is they've come up with a technology called Live Prey Technology, and it's actually attractant that is built into all our plastics. And they mimic the enzymes that are released when a bass eats a shad or when a bass eats a crawfish. These fish just won't let go of it, and it's made a huge difference for me this spring. More probably than any. I've never been a real bait specific guy, but this year I've just found something that I've been really confident in, and just been sticking with it.
I'm Terry Brown, and that's Bass Fan Radio.